Welcome to Journal of a Medical Intuitive, Episode 2. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. Today I will be talking about how I became a medical intuitive. People often ask me how I became a medical intuitive. I feel it was my destiny, but I didn't always feel that way. And there were several people and events along the way who helped to push me in the direction of becoming a medical intuitive. I was born with gifts and born into a family of psychically gifted people. And so the first person to push me in the right direction was my great-grandmother on my father's side, Lula Mae Collins Vest. Lula Mae had gifts, but I don't think anyone used the term psychic on that side of the family back then. She was the first one to identify my gifts. She said I was the one who was quote-unquote like her. And she used to sit me on her knee and have long talks with me from the time I was 2 years old. She died when I was 10, and while I don't recall everything she taught me, I was truly inconsolable when she passed, for she was my first real teacher. Great-grandma knew herbs and healing. With relatives from Native American, African, and German Jewish heritages, she had rich traditions to draw on. She was also fond of reading medical texts, and although as a mixed-blood woman born in the 1870s, she never had the opportunity to receive medical training, she passed on her love of healing to her grandsons, both of whom completed medical degrees. She was a grand matron in the Eastern Star Society and had a great mind up until her death at the ripe old age of 102. I've always felt that I was following in her footsteps and continuing what she began. After she passed, she continued to teach me from the other side, mostly in herbology. When I was in my 20s, I used to prescribe herbal remedies to all my young friends and relatives for conditions that ailed them. The second person to push me in the direction of my gifts was my mother, Michael Lee Davis. She is herself a psychic and identified me as like her as well when I was young. She didn't always have an easy relationship to her gifts, but she was able to use them very explicitly. She read cards, pulled astrology charts, and even worked on a psychic hotline at one point. She also cautioned me never work on a psychic hotline. She told me that her mother, her mother's mother, and her mother's mother's mother had all been born with the gift, and that I came from a long line of intuitives on the German side. For as long as I can remember, I've always had psychic experiences. I saw and felt spirits in my room at night. I could feel other people's illnesses and emotions, and I was able sometimes to predict the future. As a child, I remembered all my past lives, and I had a lot of really interesting out-of-body experiences. I saw the auras around trees and plants, and I could talk to animals. My mother spoke to animals, so I never doubted it was possible. I recall fondly how there was always some bad dog in every neighborhood I lived in, some dog that people would avoid. The kids would run by and scream and say, don't go near that yard. That dog will get you. But not me. I would be able to go up to any dog and stop and just telepathically talk to the dog until it calmed down. So I was never afraid of any beasts. I learned that from my mother. I've had many teachers, both human and spirit, in my life, and they're the reason I've become a healer. In addition to my mother and my great-grandmother, I also had spirit teachers who used to come and get me as a child at night. They would take me out of my body on these learning journeys to other places and times. Sometimes we'd go to a special spirit classroom where everybody was a ball of light and we'd get lessons. And sometimes they would take me to the future or to the past. When I was in my 20s, I received training from some powerful healer women in both Trinidad and Jamaica. Since I have ancestors from Haiti, I felt drawn to learn Afro-Caribbean healing traditions. Around this time, I also began participating in sweat lodges. A sweat lodge is a pan-Indian Native American spiritual tradition found throughout the U.S. Growing up, I had spent summers with and been heavily influenced by my father's mother, Maddie Lee Howard. a woman of Seminole and Haitian heritage, who taught me to be proud of my Native American heritage. As a result, I was always active in Native community, attending powwows, working for Native organizations, and just participating in Native ceremonies. I began visiting the Seminole Reservation, talking to elders, and learning my history around this time. But despite being born with gifts and having so many teachers, I had an ambivalent relationship to being psychic. Only my family and my closest friends knew the extent of it. I tried to hide it and was always afraid of people finding out and having a bad reaction. I followed a serious academic path in life, getting multiple degrees, beginning with physics and eventually completing a postdoc and becoming a professor of philosophy. Scientists and philosophers don't generally think highly of the occult, of psychic, intuitive nonsense. And I was careful not to share my abilities with my colleagues. But then I got sick, and I kept getting sicker, and the doctors couldn't help me. I tried everything. I tried every modality. I started with what I knew, what I was most comfortable with, herbs. And then I went to naturopathy and Chinese medicine, and I went to therapists and did talk therapy about my feelings. I went to hypnotherapy. I did positive thinking, affirmations. And eventually I found myself using allopathic Western medicine, which I had a resistance to at that point because I was used to using natural remedies. I went to specialists. I got lots of tests. But I wasn't getting better, and I wasn't getting answers. The doctors I encountered had three main responses to my illness. One, it was a mystery they couldn't solve. Or two, it was all in my head, or it was just emotional, and I needed to see a shrink. Or three, I had some chronic and or life-threatening disease that had no cure. None of these responses helped me get better. And being told it was in my head and a mystery made me feel worse. Or rather, being told it was a life-threatening illness made me feel worse. So my dad suggested I see a friend of his who was a medical intuitive, and he booked a session for me in Phoenix. And she was amazing. Now, this medical intuitive didn't actually give me any actual medical information. For example, she had no idea why I was having seizures. But she was a great intuitive, and she told me that I needed to accept my psychic abilities and to develop them. And if I didn't, I wouldn't get better. And so because of her reading, I immediately signed up for psychic development classes when I arrived in Florida. When you're sick, you'll do anything to get better. And I had done almost everything, and so I was willing to do one more thing to get better. If developing my gifts was going to make me better, then I was all for it. So I did a search. I found a psychic class listed online. And back then, they didn't have Meetup or Google and all of this. But I found this group. I found this class, and my first teacher was Maida Jones. Yeah, I found her through a chat room. I went to a psychic chat room, and I asked the chat room members, where can I find a good psychic teacher in Orlando? And someone said, oh, you gotta go see Maida Jones. She's amazing. Well, she was. She was a medium trained in evidential mediumship and a spiritualist. So I began studying with her. And because of her classes, I found out about Casadega Spiritualist Camp. And I began taking several psychic, mediumship, and healing classes there with a variety of teachers, including Mary Rose Gray, Joan Piper, Lorraine Peterson, Stephen Atkins, Suzanne DeWeese, and Don Zanghi. I also became a Reiki master under the tutelage of Marie Wilson Gates. I took classes for 5 years at Casadega. And after a while, something funny became obvious. All the dead people I was bringing through were sick. They were all telling me about their illnesses and their causes of death. My classmates were picking up the usual types of evidence. Appearance, job, hobby. But not me. Now, I was getting cause of death and illness every time. I could feel their ailments in my body when I did readings. If Aunt Sue died of a heart attack, I could feel a heart attack. If Uncle Frank died of an asthma attack, I could feel that. When I did psychic readings, I also tended to pick up illness. So I'd be tuning into somebody, and what I almost always got was health issues. My classmates actually started coming to me and asking me to help them with their illnesses because I kept getting that type of information. So my teachers began to point out my clear specialty with identifying illness, and they encouraged me to pursue it. While I was at Casadega, I got several readings telling me I would one day be a healer and heal many people, and that I would also teach healing. Now, I didn't believe it at the time. And anyway, I was pretty busy with my career as a professor. Now, right before I had gone to see the medical intuitive back in Phoenix, I had begun accessing medical information about my own health intuitively. But I didn't know what a medical intuitive was. Then someone told me about Edgar Cayce. I was involved at the time with the Theosophy Society. And so I started reading everything I could on Edgar Cayce. And it was then that I realized what a medical intuitive was and began to wonder if maybe that was something I had as a gift, since I was getting the same type of information that he got. Medical information, anatomical terms, disease names. But, you know, I was only practicing on myself out of necessity. I was only trying to get better, so I didn't think of it as a vocation. And I wasn't really clear that it was a gift I had beyond being able to help myself. I wasn't clear about that, but it just began to, I began to think about it at that point. So eventually I was able to get doctors to pursue tests and treatments that I was able to pick up intuitively through my own medical intuition. And that was my first bit of evidence that this stuff was reliable. I would have an intuition about something that was going on in my body. I would look it up, find out what test was required, or I would intuitively get a test, and then I would go tell my doctor. A lot of times it didn't work out. They wouldn't listen to me. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. But eventually, I did get people to listen, and eventually I found a way to get certain tests run and to get certain ideas considered. Now, Cayce, he really helped a lot of people. And later, when I started getting serious training in psychic development, mediumship, and healing, and when this gift really emerged in working with other people in my classes, it did occur to me that maybe like Cayce, I could help other people with this gift. Maybe I could help people like me who'd been sick for a long time and weren't getting answers. So I began practicing medical intuition on my friends and family. And I got together my best teachers at Casadega and we formed a medical intuition circle at my house. We had a lot of fun. We met once a week at my house on the edge of the woods. And we did readings on the names of sick people we had been given. We didn't know these people, and that was important for our work because we didn't want to be influenced by anything we knew about somebody. So we would ask somebody we knew to give us a name of somebody they knew who was sick. And all we needed was the name and permission from that person to scan them. And then we'd get together, and I think it was three or four of us, would scan the person remotely and discuss what we found. And then I was the one that was responsible for compiling all of our findings into one report, and I would be the one that would synthesize it and type it up, and then I would mail it off to the client. And we would get feedback. You know, they would write us, or they would call us back, or they would tell their friend who had first referred them if it was helpful and how was it helpful, and in that way we got an idea of how accurate we were and when we weren't accurate and what we needed to work on. And so when those first medical intuition scan reports that I did with my colleagues in Casadega, we had three sections to our report. We had a physical scan, an emotional scan, and a spiritual scan. And we wanted people to really understand all of the different causes of illness. And to this day, I still look at all of those causes, although I no longer do those reports. And I now meet with people one-on-one, face-to-face, and just scan them in the moment. And I also scan people remotely on video. So after having that medical intuition circle, you know, I got a lot of practice that way. But I still needed more practice, so I was doing practice sessions on friends and family, and then people would tell each other, oh, you should ask Jennifer. And so I got a lot of practice that way. I moved out to, Providence, Rhode Island, and I had a friend who was a doctor, and I don't know how she found out that I knew how to do this, but I don't know, late night talking, somehow it came up. And she herself was dealing with some really difficult health issues. And even though she was a doctor, she wasn't getting any answers from the doctor she was going to. And she was actually a medical student at the time, so she wasn't quite a doctor yet. But she knew a lot about medicine. And she couldn't get any answers. And so I said, okay, I'll do a scan on you. And I did a scan, and I gave her a report, and we met. And she was really, really kind of blown away by it. Because she hadn't told me anything about her illness. I don't like to know what's going on with people. I don't need to know. And so back then especially, I used to insist that people tell me nothing. Now I'm not so particular. If people want to talk about it, they can. But I told her, don't tell me anything. And so I was able to just go in and find everything that was wrong. Well, probably not everything, but you know, I found enough. And she was able to take that information to her doctors and to change her treatment. And so she really encouraged me to make this my profession, too. And that was, well, I probably shouldn't say her name because I haven't asked. But I might share her name in a subsequent episode because I want to give her credit. And so I just started practicing. I was still not doing this full time, but, you know, I was practicing it on the side. And I moved out to California and decided, you know, I think I really want to get serious about doing this. And so I started doing a lot of volunteer work. I started volunteering at churches and at healing centers and metaphysical bookstores. And I started doing a lot of medical intuition sessions on people and getting feedback. And then I finally decided to hang a shingle. And I worked for a lot of other people. I worked at healing centers and metaphysical shops and healing fairs, and I stopped doing reports and I started doing face-to-face sessions, and my gift evolved. I got better at getting information more quickly. And I also studied. I started really seriously studying anatomy and different medical specialties and disease, because I do feel that it's really important when you're doing medical intuition that you're getting actual medical information. And so in that regard, it's not like other types of intuition where you're just getting intuitive information. With medical intuition, you have to actually get information that's verifiable. You have to get evidence that's something that people can take action on. And so I was really fortunate that I was trained by mediums who were all about evidence. You know, I was not trained that psychic work is whatever you get. I was trained that the information you get needs to be evidential. It needs to be something that your client can confirm or deny. And of course, that's not true about everything that comes up in a reading, but parts of it are that way. So if I list some symptoms, my client can say, yes, I have those symptoms. Or if I say, you have a problem with your thyroid being too low, the client can say, yes, I had a test, and that's what the doctor already told me, is that I'm hypothyroid. So, you know, evidence is important. And even if the client can't confirm something, it should be confirmable by tests. or by doctors or by, you know, something that happens in the future. And so in that regard, there's a lot more required of medical intuition. And there's also a lot more at stake. You know, people's health is a serious business. You know, you can't really afford to make a lot of mistakes with that. And of course, no psychic is 100% accurate. And certainly no medical intuitive is. And I don't claim to be that 100% accurate. But I do try to be as accurate as I can be. So that the person can actually use the information to get better. Now, one of the reasons why I developed this specialty has to do with my overwhelming, out-of-control clairsentience. So growing up, I would feel other people's illnesses, and as a result, I often felt sick, and it wasn't even my sickness. If I went into a hospital, I would feel like I was going to die. I didn't like being around, you know, relatives that were sick, and so I probably came across as not a very compassionate person. But it wasn't a lack of compassion. It was a lack of tolerance of how it felt to be around sick people. Now, clairsentience is the ability to feel other people's physical sensations and or other people's emotional sensations. And so I would pick up people's emotions, their mental illnesses, and also their physical illnesses. And when I was younger, I didn't have control of it. And so when you don't have control of your clairsentience, it's really a burden more than a gift. And until you get control of it, it doesn't feel like a gift. It doesn't feel useful at all. It just feels like a huge limitation in your life. And so I had to get control of that. But I know that because of my clairsentience, you know, that was a part of my development that really helped me to become a medical intuitive. I mean, there's different things you can do with clairsentience. Some people become therapists who are very empathic and can really understand their clients. Some people become doctors or masseuses who can feel their clients while they're working with them. I have a client, a student who's a physical therapist, and she can tune into and feel what her clients are feeling, and then that helps her to treat them. But if you don't use your clairsentience for something, it can just kind of drive you mad. I'm now able to use my clairsentience to feel the symptoms in the other person's body. And this is because of my clairsentience, I'm able to examine my clients without touching them. So if you go to a doctor, they're usually going to palpate your body. They're going to feel your body. They're going to look at your body. They're going to examine your body and to see what's going on. Well, because of my clairsentience, I can examine and palpate my body as a proxy for the client's body. How? Because I reach out and I pull their symptoms into my body. And then I feel the symptoms, and that helps me to figure out what's going on. I can also then kind of poke and prod my body and, you know, move my body around to see if there's a limitation of movement. I can, you know, run in place to see if there's an exercise tolerance issue. I can stretch and bend to see if different positions affect the symptom. And so having clairsentience and then learning how to control it and manage it and make it useful was an important part of my training as a medical intuitive. Now, I use clairsentience, but I also use clairvoyance to look into the body. And that's why it's so important to learn anatomy when you become a medical intuitive, because when I first started out, I'd be looking into someone's body and I'd be seeing something and I didn't know what I was looking at. So now I'd have to go and get some anatomy books out and look it up and try to figure out, what is this? What is this? I also use clairaudience. That's where you hear something. And sometimes I'm hearing it from the body. Sometimes I'm hearing it from a spirit doctor. Now, when you're working with a spirit doctor, that's called medical mediumship. And next time, we'll talk more about medical mediumship versus medical intuitive work. Well, if I hear a medical term from my spirit doctor or from the body, and I don't know what that term means, then I have to go look that up. And so I used to look up a lot of things. I still look up some things because, you know, I don't have the most comprehensive medical knowledge, but now I'm familiar enough with enough medical terms and enough anatomy that I can get information and I can right away know what it means. Now, I also work claircognizantly, which means I can go through lists in my head and get a hit, yes, no, true, false. And that's where having some knowledge about medical conditions is also helpful, or having some knowledge about the etiology of disease. So, for example, if I see an infection in someone's body, I can go through and ask, is it viral or bacterial? Yes, no. That's claircognizance. Yes, no. If I didn't know that about infections, if I didn't know they were caused predominantly by those two things, I wouldn't be able to have that shortcut. So medical intuition is really a combination of intuition and knowledge. I also use telepathy in my work, and that means that, you know, I talk to the organs in the same way that I used to talk to the animals, and still do actually, telepathically. I can talk to the organs, and so if I identify a problem in the liver, say, I can then ask the liver, what's going on? What's wrong? What do you need? What's the emotion associated with this condition in the liver? And so the telepathy is important. Now, these are all just tools I use to access the physical, but I also access the emotional and the spiritual causes of disease. And so all the training I got in healing, where I learned how to perceive the aura and perceive conditions in the aura, to perceive emotional conditions in somebody's aura, all of that training I received in healing, I'm able to use in medical intuition to identify emotional causes. And then I also look at spiritual causes, and in order to do that, I go to the Akashic Records. And I was working with the Akashic Records from the time I was very young, but I did several years working with a past life regressionist trained in Dolores Cannon's quantum healing hypnosis technique. I worked with three different hypnotherapists, visiting my past lives and talking to my guides about soul contracts and past lives. And so all of that work, for 10 years I did that work, that all helped to train me to be able to then see other people's past lives. And so my work as a medical intuitive is the result of a lot of different types of training. And I started out in my traditional training in physics, and so I started out with a very strong science background, and I worked as an engineer. And so I was able to bring that scientific way of thinking and that scientific approach to knowledge. I was able to combine that with the logic that I learned from being a philosopher with my intuition, and then all the training I received in mediumship and healing and past lives. And I was able to bring all of those knowledges together in order to do my work as a medical intuitive. You can learn more about what I do by visiting my website at drvestmedicalintuitive.com. That's D-R-V-E-S-T, medicalintuitive.com. Or just do a Google search for Dr. Vest, Medical Intuitive. That's Vest, like you wear. I'm located in Los Angeles, but through the magic of technology, I'm able to work with clients all over the globe via video chat. I want to give a special thanks to the musician, Rick Bader. I've been playing his music in the background from his album, Music from the Archangels. You can find that particular album at rickbater.bandcamp.com, and his name is spelled R-I-C-K-B-A-T-Y-R. You can also find his other albums at pranasoundstudio.com, pranasoundstudio.com. Music from the Archangels. This is the end of today's episode. Join me next week, where I'll be talking about medical intuition, medical mediumship, and some of the interesting cases I've had.